Good morning. Good to see everybody out this morning. Welcome everyone that's online. I'm probably not going to talk to you all much today because I am not a techie. This is my comfort right here. It's where I like to stay. But we are going to continue with Mike's the series we've been in, Amen, Learning from Jesus. The gift you get this morning is you get to hear from Jesus. Okay? Reading the Word of God, Jesus in John tells us, Amen, verily, verily, truly, truly. Just the truth of Christ's mission and authority here on earth is what this series has been all about. Week one, Jesus said, come and see, come and follow, come and serve, and then go and tell. And that gives us a good, just a blueprint for what discipleship is and what evangelism is. Okay, come and see, come and follow, come and serve, and then go and tell. In week two, salvation, Jesus offered himself, said, I'll give you eternal life if you believe me that I am the Son of God, that I raised from the dead. If you receive my message and receive the authority of my will for your life, you will become a son of the King, okay? Son of God. So that's week two. Week three, salvation, or week three, last week, Mike talked about Jesus is equal to God. He is the Son of God. And we have a choice to make. We either choose obedience or we choose rebellion. And we either receive his message or we reject his message. This week, before we get started, I want to just give you a little background. I've titled the sermon today, Feed on Jesus. My testimony is not a testimony of great 180-degree change. It is more of a subtle change. I grew up in a Christian household. Father and mother took me to church every Sunday, whether I wanted to go or not. Some Sundays I didn't want to go. I wanted to beg them to stay with my grandparents, and they would not let me unless I had a fever of 100. And I was too scared of Dad to take the thermometer and put it up to a light bulb. So if I didn't have a fever of 100, I went to church. Vacations was Monday through Friday. One vacation we went on a year because we were in church. So early years, whether I liked it or not, I was going to church, and so thankful for that, so thankful for the foundation that laid for my life. But it was still, it was my parents' religion, right? It was their church, it was their life, and I was just tagging along because I had to. It was not my religion yet. And, you know, I had contempt, you know, some Sundays I didn't want to be there. Other Sundays I did. But as far as listening to the message, it was very little focus on my part listening to the messages. I heard some of them, parts of them. But most of the time I was looking at my cousin's baseball cards or, you know, playing with tractors underneath the pews. And I've passed that on to my boys, I think. But anyway, one evening, one afternoon after school, it's about 11 or 12, don't know exactly, I was riding down the road on my bicycle about a mile or two away from my house, and beautiful day, sunny, family chopping corn, live on a dairy farm, and I was just out. They were all working. I was out riding around just being a kid, thinking I was king of the world, king of my life, making the decisions for myself. And I had no care in the world. And I was riding down the road, and who knows, all over the road, Saw my friend's house on the left side of the road. And I was like, go see what he's up to. Wheeled across the road, crossed the road. And as I started across the road, of course, you know, you look a little bit, and I saw the grill of a car. And I pedaled a little faster, and the car followed me up the driveway. And I'm like, oh, no, I dodged a bullet, and then they're going to get me. So just so happened it was my friend's stepfather, and he scared me. He got out, chewed me out of the car, and I told me to get home. If I hadn't no more sense than that, I had no business being on this road. So I got on my bike after the good chewing I took, and I started driving the mile home. And in that mile was the most important mile of my life. Because my life changed from my life to Christ's life in that mile. Okay. At that moment, I realized that I had no reason. There was absolutely nothing that I had done to protect myself from getting smashed, from being roadkill. Okay. Right there on that road. I had done nothing. And at that moment, all the sermons and the times that I saw Mom reading her Bible and things, it came to reality in my life. Jesus was no longer something that was preached from a pulpit. It was a person that resided in my heart that I gave control to that day. And so that's my story. I got baptized a few months later, but at that moment, as the title of the sermon today is Feed on Jesus, I started feeding on Jesus. And I realized that, you know, Jesus is, I gave him control instead of me. And Jesus tastes good. He has blessed my life tremendously because of that. You know, I was able to dodge a lot of the arrows that Satan likes to shoot at us, especially as teenagers. It's a hard time as, you know, young adults going off to college. You know, if you're lost and you go to a four-year university, a big four-year university, you'll find something. You will find something. And as a lot of people says that whatever that is truth to them. Okay? But Christ tells us today that he is the truth. Amen, amen. King James Version says, verily, verily, NIV Version, I tell you the truth. That's what it says. And that's, I accepted that truth. And oh, that food, that acceptance has guided me very well up until this point of my life. So that's my testimony. If you are listening and you say, I'm not sure if I'm saved, I would say to you that you are not saved. Okay? If you are unsure about your salvation, you are not saved. Because if Jesus, the sovereign God in heaven, has not changed your life enough for you to know that something is different, then you have not given him control of your life. Okay? So that is the change that took place in me. On that bicycle, on that mile ride back home, and I'm so thankful to Christ that he did that for me. He protected me, and this book right here, my bookmarks, protected me through teenage years, young adult years, marriage, and it's I've lived a very uneventful but so good life up to this point. So today, I pray that for people that have not accepted Christ, that you will accept Christ today. And for those of you that have accepted Christ and you know that the change has taken place in your life, that this will give encouragement to you and just help you relive all those good times, all that good food Jesus has given you over the years, that you may have life eternal. And backstory for today, John chapter 6, we start reading in 6:22, but before that, what's going on is Jesus is doing his thing. He is right in the midst of his ministry on earth. He is healing people. He's saving people. He's driving out demons. There's 5,000 people following Jesus right here in this story. And those 5,000 people are there for a lot of different reasons, just like we are here in church for different reasons. Some of us are here to come, you know, see the show, hear the good music, go to the cafe, get a cup of coffee, and that's maybe all they're willing to accept. And then we have some that are here that's wanting to immerse themselves to get totally fed in Christ. And then, you know, so same was going on in Jesus' day. There's 5,000 men there, women and children. Some were there just to see the show. I mean, it was a show. You got demons driving out, blind people seeing. I'd be watching that. Okay? That'd be some good reality TV, in my opinion. So all those 5,000 people there, they got hungry. Okay? I mean, like, hungry. And Jesus said, somebody here, go feed them. Give them some food. They've listened to me. They're here watching me. Go feed these people. And so they did. They ate. 5,000 of them ate off of two loaves and five fish, or five fish and two loaves. And they got their full. Well, same thing we do when we get full, we go to bed. So they all went to bed. It was late. They went to bed and woke up the next morning. Jesus was gone. Jesus, he was wore out. He sent his disciples on over to across the lake, and he stayed behind because he needed a solitary place to where he could feed off of his Father. And Jesus gives us a perfect example of you know, feeding off of his Father. He needed to find that solitary place that he could go and refill, rejuvenate his spirit. Okay? So disciples left. Jesus has just saved a lot of people. And then just because he could, he's like, you know, I'm going to go be with my Father. And he didn't worry about how he was going to get across the other side of the lake. He just walked on the water, you know, no big deal. You know, he just right on. So everybody's like, all the people that ate the next morning said, how'd Jesus get over here? He just walked on the water. No biggie. But anyway, so picking up today, first scripture for today, 6:22, believe he got us up there. I'm going to read from this. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? Really, they were saying, how did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. See, all the miracles he was performing, he was performing for other people. Okay, it did not affect them, the masses. Okay, but now he fed everybody. Okay, so they woke up the next morning, didn't have a skillet with them. They needed some bacon and some eggs. I don't know if Israelites ate that, but I'm just okay, bringing it in my terms. So I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they ask him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Big idea today, feeding on Jesus tastes good. We are to believe in the one he has sent. God has sent. Believe in Jesus. Our key verse will come further on in the chapter, but I want to go ahead and say it now. In John 6:57, it says, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Okay? You know, as I read through this passage this week, you know, this jumped out on me, out at me, and it's like, you know, there's a lot of things in this world that we can feed on, okay, that we can use to satisfy cravings in our body, in our heart, in our mind, in our soul, spirit. And there's a lot of people that's selling a lot of different stuff. Okay? But I love the fact that in these amen statements, Christ says, I tell you the truth. Okay? And if you're willing to accept the teaching of Christ as truth, he will change your life. And when I say feeding on Jesus tastes good, I'm talking about really feeding. Okay? Feeding is active. Think 2-year-old that has not been allowed to eat sugar, okay, getting a birthday cake. Yeah. Y'all know, y'all been there, a lot of you. What do they do with that birthday cake? It's all over them. You know, after you get done, napkins, you don't use napkins. Okay, you pull out the pressure washer and you hose down the deck, hose down the kid, okay, all that. Do a little pre-wash before you let them back in the house. Okay, so, you know, I think back to my boys. The first boy, of course, you know, the first boy, you try to do things right. Second boy, you're just surviving. Okay, so the first boy, we didn't let him have sugar. About two, like I said, very, very, very little sugar. Now, you know, granddad and grandmom, they slipped him a little bit. But in the house, he wasn't eating much sugar. So, it was good, worked out well for us. Kid will eat spinach, he'll eat kale, he'll eat olives. Out of the can, he'll eat olives. So he got him had to get that from his mama. Okay, I can eat an olive underneath extra cheese, surrounded by onions and pepperoni and tomato sauce, I can eat an olive. And that's if I don't see it. Okay, if I see it, I still can't eat it. But anyway, feeding on Jesus tastes good, and feed on Jesus in a way that, you know, that kid with spaghetti or, you know, that's just all just, you know, just all about it. That's what Jesus wants us to do is to feed on him. And And this is, I've got two pictures I want to show you. And in your bulletin, you got blanks to fill out. Fill in one or two words, okay, and answer two questions about each picture that I'm going to show you. So picture number one, okay, what do you see is the first question. What do you see? And then the second question is, how does that make you feel? Okay, so one or two words. Take a minute, let that resonate with you. Interaction, everybody blurt out. What do you see? One word. A car. There's a car under there somewhere. Clutter, disaster, mess. Okay. Okay. Junk. Okay. A Ford fan would totally agree with you that that's junk, because somebody in the first service told me that that was a Mopar under there, and how he knew that was a Mopar, he must like Mopars, because all I see is one door panel. But anyway, so how does that make you feel? Nervous. No order. Nervous. Okay. Yeah, he's so, you know, that picture this. This was kind of my life before that day on that dirt road, or on that road on my bicycle, that I gave my life to Christ. You know, you got a lot of parts to life, a lot of pieces to life. Yes, there's a finished product in there somewhere, okay? But it is buried with a lot of confusion and a lot of chaos and a lot of stuff, okay? Picture number two, what do you see? How does that make you feel? All right, what do you see? I heard clean, organized, order, a beautiful car. Okay. How does that make you feel? Great. I see a lot of smiles. Okay. The best bike ride I took in my life. Okay, the best bike ride I took in my life. My life went from picture one to picture two. Okay. Christ tastes good. Christ tastes good. He puts all those pieces and he creates a beautiful finished product. Okay. It's clean, it's organized. Okay, now you're going to spill some oil in there every now and again, but Christ is right there to wipe it up and to clean it back up and polish it back up. Okay. I saw those two pictures, and I looked at before and afters, and I was just like, you know, that's it. That in a picture is worth a thousand words. That is what Christ did in my life. He took the chaos, the confusion. He organized it, okay, simplified it, streamlined it, and is making a beautiful product out of that. Okay? When I look at that, I see simplicity. I see focus. And when I can focus on something, I don't get confused, right? If you have a lot of stuff, you get confused. And in confusion, you get stressed. And stressed, you get a bellyache. And then you got to take Pepto. And then it just goes on and on. And acids, okay? Tums loves internet, right? People that sell Tums love internet, because you can search for anything on the internet. And the more information you get, if y'all ever been there, you're looking, trying to pick out something, and you just look, and you look, and you look, and you just keep getting, and then finally you're just like, and just choose one, throw all the, okay, that is the world, and this is Christ, okay? Simplicity, focus, clarity, and then that gives you joy. You're not burdened by all of the mess. So let's continue on. Food that endures to eternal life. John 26, I'm going to read this again. I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life. In your bulletin, I said, work for food that endures to eternal life. Jesus satisfies spiritual hunger. The people in Israel wanted just to have their stomachs full. Jesus gives you that, feeds the spiritual hunger that we have inside of us. The work of God is this, to believe the one he has sent. That is simple. Believe the one he has sent. Believe Jesus. Declare to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, just as Peter did in Matthew 16:16. Jesus asked, who do you say I am? Peter said, you are Christ, Son of the living God. After this, Jesus will give you food that endures to eternal life. It will be just enough at just the right time, and it will taste very good. Give you an example of this. This week, preparing for the sermon, this is my second sermon I've ever preached. Okay. I knew that I needed a lot of time to prepare this week for this sermon. So I've been in prayer constantly this week, and even before this week, last week, I got a bum foot, bruised it, I guess bruised, couldn't hardly walk, had to stay off of it. And that gave me time this week. My wife loves to exercise, and I love to go with her. We push both boys in strollers, and there we off we go, usually a daily thing. But I knew I needed time, to quiet time for me to prepare for a sermon. And if I've got two boys, 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, there's no quiet in the house. I see some of y'all mamas and daddies, yeah, you grinning, you know. It's just, if I summed up our house, it's loud. I mean, that is the word that I would say. So God gave me a bum foot, and that was the food I needed this week. A little bit hobbled around at school and there and at home, but it got me out of walking 4 miles every day, and it gave me a chance to spend that hour and a half each day that I would have been walking with my family in the Word of God, preparing for a sermon. So you wouldn't think a bum leg or a bum foot would be the bread of God or the food, but it was for me this week. It allowed me just enough time to prepare. Jesus is the bread of God. Continuing on, 6:32, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus is the bread of life. Bread sustains life. If we will feed, he's given us the invitation to feed on him, and we will never go hungry. We will never be thirsty. So how do we eat? How do we consume the bread of Jesus? Okay. What does that look like in our life? How does that take place? It takes place by submitting to his authority and to his will for our life. Submission is the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. Back on that bicycle in Baywood, I was the king of me. Okay? I had not accepted and submitted my life and given up my life to Christ at that time. And that day, Jesus tastes good. Jesus tastes good. He shows us how to submit, just as he submitted. In Hebrews 5, verse 7. Hebrews 5, I don't know if this is up on the screen. Hebrews 5. See, iPod, you could have got there faster. If a battery didn't die. Just say. No, that's right. Hey, campfire ready too. Just say. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions. This is Hebrews, writer of Hebrews, telling us about Jesus. Okay? How did Jesus live his life? During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard. He was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Hey, so many times we live in confusion. We want to pop a Jesus pill. Hey, we want just a little bit of Jesus to help us through whatever we're going through in our life that day, that mess that we created. Okay? So, you know, Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. I have much, much, much better for you. Okay? Don't pop the Jesus pill. Eat, consume me, feed on me daily. And your life will sustain eternally. Matthew 26, 36 through 46, Jesus was agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane just before he was arrested. Because Jesus was fully human. Matthew 26. There it is. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." See, Jesus was 100% God. That's why we submit to him in authority, but he was also 100% human, and only Jesus could do that. Okay, so Jesus was agonizing to the point of death in the Garden of Gethsemane because he knew what was about to happen. He was about to take the sins of the world upon his shoulders for all of humanity, forevermore, for all of eternity, and save us. And he knew it was going to hurt. It was not going to feel good. Okay? What does he do? He says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. He didn't want to do it. Okay? At that time, there was a part of him that did not want what was about to happen. But this is where Jesus becomes Jesus. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he, two more times, he went and prayed the same prayer to God the Father. He said, I don't want to do this. I know this is going to be bad, but I trust you. And I know in the end, it's going to turn out good. Okay? Reverent submission. Israel, in Isaiah's time, years and years and years before Jesus, going through the same thing, living their life, doing their thing, finding preachers that would preach what they wanted to hear, thinking that was the way. Isaiah in chapter 30, verse 15, before that he says, look, harsh words for Israel. You're not listening to me, you're sinning, and you're going to reap the wages of your sin. Okay? Things are not going to go well for you. But this is the choice, the option, the other side of that. God, through the prophet Isaiah, tells Israel that in repentance and rest is your salvation. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. To feed on Jesus, we have to trust Jesus and submit to his life. And it tastes good. Continuing on, back over to John. At this time, the Jews began to grumble. A lot of people don't like to hear that word submit, to yield to a force greater than you. We think we are our own force and, you know, power. But Jesus, so Jews were the same way at that time. Some of them began to grumble about him and said, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, this is Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. How can he now say, I came down from heaven? What does Jesus say? Stop grumbling among yourselves. Jesus answered, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I tell you today, if you're sitting in this church, God the Father is drawing you to Jesus, or has already drawn you to Jesus, and you're here because of that, because you know that the food of Christ tastes good. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes have everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and may not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? He who believes has eternal life. Just like in Isaiah's time, the Israelites, they rejected. They started arguing. They said, this Jesus, we know whose parents are. He's not sure about all this. And they were not really rejecting Jesus. What were they rejecting? They were rejecting the message. They could not stomach the message that Jesus was delivering. They didn't want to hear that Jesus was demanding, you know, he demands us to be loyal and obedient to him. Okay? They didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to submit. But he who believes has eternal life. Feed on Jesus by accepting his demands and make your loyalty, he makes for your loyalty and obedience, and you shall have life. Eat the flesh and drink the blood of Jesus. Eat the flesh and drink the blood of Jesus. Remember that feeding requires action. Okay, it is not something that you can just sit and do. You have to pick up the fork and bring it to your mouth. Okay, you have to pick up the Word of God and ingest it in order to feed on Jesus. Okay, but he tells us, feed on me and it will end well for you. You will have life eternal. Eat the flesh and drink the blood of Jesus. Submit to him in worship and accept his will and start living now and forever. John 6:53, Jesus said to them, the final word in here, truly, truly statement he makes, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the promise Jesus makes. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, here's our key verse. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. Feed on the bread of Jesus. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. He also said this right here today in Cornerstone Community Church. Those little quotes, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Okay? He said this today. He says this in a teenager's bedroom that opens a Bible, that's going through something or had a teammate or something offering them up something that they know or that they're unsure of. Pull out the Bible. He tastes good. Y'all have all been there. Okay? A lot of people try to get you to do a lot of things. Feeding on Jesus, for me, peer pressure was, it didn't happen. Or it was very, very low. Okay? I fed on Jesus instead of fed on classmates or, you know, other people telling me what I needed to do. Jesus was controlling my life. He says this while teaching wherever and whenever you read his word or listen to him. Immerse yourself in Jesus. Feed on Jesus and have everlasting life. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this message that you've provided for us. Thank you for the food that you give us so that we will not go hungry, we'll never be thirsty. Thank you for submitting your will to God in that painful experience up on that cross that you would save us. Dear Lord, for someone here today that has never accepted your will and has not fed on you, dear Lord, please this day draw them to you and help them. Just let them know that you are good. You are oh so good. Dear Lord, for those that have been saved for many years that know that Jesus is good, just let this day be a reminder to them that whatever we're going through, the best place to look for support, for help, and for life is your holy name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.